Hey, you guys out there, how are you doing? Girl, gender neutral, how are you doing? It's been a week and we got some bad news. We got some real bad news this week, and you're probably processing a lot of emotions right now, which is understandable, and all your emotions are valid. And we all here on the podcast are experiencing those emotions too. It's really important as part of the grieving process to not get over it, but to like let yourself feel your emotions, let yourself be able to identify what they are. Because I know definitely when the January 9th thing happened, I was in full denial and bargaining. And then when I got this news from David Jenkins, we all got it on the Instagram. It was like a punch in the chest when David Jenkins said the show has hit the end of the road and has not found a home. So, Kate, what feelings came up for you when you saw that post from David Jenkins?
Oh, I cried. I cried. Just,
Valid.
it was, I mean, I was on this podcast just a couple of weeks ago saying how sure, how positive I was that we were going to find a home. And I remember right after the cancellation, once the renewal effort started, I had a dream that we got picked up by Netflix. And even though I know, a dream doesn't mean anything is necessarily going to happen. I certainly had these strong feelings that, well, maybe, maybe this will turn out to be true. And it was heartbreaking.
It felt like
So.
a bunch of my friends died. Like they'd all been on life support after like a terrible accident, and then I just got the news that they'd all died. Because it really does feel that way. And so, listeners, if you're listening to the podcast right now and people are telling you it's a show, it's just a show, get over it. It's more than a show. For
It
me,
is.
it's bringing up a lot of terrible feelings around my own art and my own creativity because, I've been getting a lot of rejections on my writing. And for me, Our Flag Means Death represents the pinnacle of everything that I would want to do with my writing. It's the inclusivity, it's the good feelings, it's my favorite thing. And if someone who is as brilliant and talented as David Jenkins and Alex Sherman and Alyssa Lane and all those wonderful people on that show are getting rejected for a show that is perfect, then what hope is there for someone like me who is aspiring to be what they are? What about you, Lacey? What are you feeling right now?
I mean, acceptance. I was always a kind of cynical about the prospect of it being picked up or renewed. Because when it got canceled, I was just honestly, as initially the first cancellation, I was pissed. I was like, this is some bullshit. Because it is. There's so many other shows that are just more of the same. I'm in the like, okay, Firefly got canceled, but then we had Serenity, and then all the graphic novels, and Doctor Who has audio plays all the time. I'm like, okay, maybe some of these stories and characters can find an official canonical continuation that isn't season three. Season three is all of us, which sounds really trite, and I
Like
just don't believe it, but it is.
maybe Our Flag Means Death novels that are in canon. Maybe Our Flag Means Death Broadway musical.
Oh my God. The world wouldn't survive such an amazing production.
There is a Blackbeard and Steed musical that some folks were working on right before season one aired. I don't have any more details on it than that, but I do know that someone has been working on this for some time.
Logistically, HBO is going to have to not be a massive dick about the rights for that to happen. We'll get into their rights dickery later on in fandom news, but I'm kind of at the acceptance and like hopeful imagining stage.
There was actually something that you said, Carly, that has given me a lot of peace
Oh, what did
where
I
all of this
say?
is concerned. You said something really beautiful about how we're going to continue to tell our stories around the fireplace or around the fire, and like this is exactly the same as like telling stories about the gods. And like I'm just getting emotional kind of thinking about it. Just, you know, it's so lovely to think that. Oh, and Irene said something incredibly beautiful. We will do what queers have always done, which is to make art from the ashes. Things like that have really helped me kind of get to more of an acceptance. I remember talking to a bunch of fans and all of us saying, even if all of these efforts to renew the show are not successful, we still have done something great that has made history. We, as Samba has said, we. And that has been more inspiring for me and given me just more hope for what collective action can do and how we can have a positive effect on our world.
David Jenkins even said in his Twitter post that the industry has taken notice. And the thing is, we're in this place where we feel like the future of the kind of storytelling that represents the full spectrum of the human experience is at risk. The companies are deleting films, whole films, series, while throwing money at terrible people with hateful ideas who are behind projects that no one asked for. If you saw the Oscars last night, Cord Jefferson said, you know, you're taking huge risks whenever you make films, but maybe instead of making one $200 million film, you make, he was better at math than I was, but like you make a bunch of
Four
smaller
fifty,
films.
yeah,
Yes.
$54 million films or
Exactly.
four $50 million films. Those are both.
Yeah, $54 million films. Exactly. I do believe there's hope though, because human creativity, it's like a Pandora's box. We've now realized that a story like Our Flag Means Death can exist, and now there's no going back. Think about this. 90 years ago in 1934, the Hays Code, you guys know about the Hays Code? It began being rigidly enforced. Among other things, the code forbade depictions of interracial romance and queer identities. If you ever want to watch like super interesting films, Google pre-Hays Code. Now, this code was industry self-censorship, kind of like what's starting to happen in publishing and streaming right now. We're all about like making generic stuff that will appeal to middle America and everyone. The Hays Code itself like severely limited storylines that were critical of religion, US policies, or anything questioning the current social status quo, which was very hetero, right? And binary. And it limited a whole bunch of artistic expression. Motion picture storytelling, which is still like a relatively new form of storytelling, has now outlasted the Hays Code three times over. So the history of all writing and performance is the history of creativity enduring. It survived through countless technological revolutions, it's outlasted empires. Crafting comedy and drama will be part of the human condition until the end of time. And fan fiction writers and readers, this is for you because what you do is magical and meaningful, and you've been doing it for tens of thousands of years. The classics, Homer, Sappho, Sophocles, even Shakespeare, all of them are fan fiction writers. So let us celebrate the important work that you do because the work you do will outlast capitalism. And I believe it will last forever. And just as I was saying that, our friend Tanya Dixon just knocked on my door and came by. So I let her into the house. And
She did.
Tanya is a friend from the Warner Brothers picket line, Warner Brothers and Disney, who lives down the street.
Neighbors and friends.
Yeah, neighbors and friends, and we bonded over Our Flag Means Death because we both love it
Love
so
it.
much. And Tanya also had a really long conversation with Khan and Sambo while on the picket
Oh, it was
line.
so nice.
Yeah.
They were lovely.
So I'll guide you into our little like what we're talking about right now is we are talking about our feelings around what has happened with the cancellation. So how are you feeling right now?
I feel like I'm hanging on an edge.
Oh no.
You know, like yeah. Well, Carly knows this, but I took the longest time to watch the last episode because I didn't want it to end, because I came into this a little bit after everybody else and went through it several times, but kept waiting to watch that last one to get it closer to when the next season was going to be there. And then I watch it and then find out. So I feel like I'm just like, oh, like,
and then when the news hit that it's like over, there's no home.
Oh
for
yeah.
It.
I kept thinking that can't be right.
So you're in the denial and bargaining.
I'm in
stage.
Denial. Yeah. I am in denial. I keep thinking this is Hollywood. This is this industry. Things change and happen on a dime all the time. I feel like I'm manifesting, trying to something out there is going to pop someone, some studio, even a lower budget and just say, wait, this is too grand. We cannot let us help you. It may not be as, you know, higher production value, but
for right now, it lives on in fan fiction. And that's why I'm doubling down on this podcast harder than ever, because I feel like we can keep it alive with fan fiction. We can hype the fan fiction writers who are doing such great work. And hello and welcome. And this is the Steed episode of the Our Flag Means Fan Fiction podcast. So I told you all to bring in some jokes to bring the energy up. Who wants to go first? Go for it, Lacey.
How do pirates know they're pirates? They think, therefore they are.
That's grand. I will be retelling that.
All right. So I tried to tell my optometrist girlfriend that I couldn't see her anymore. She took a step closer and said, how about now?
That's good.
That's a good one. Okay. What kind of water does a white man drink? Water from a well, actually.
What do you call a pirate with both eyes and all his limbs? A rookie.
Nice. I love it.
That's good. Another one to be told again.
So the other dad joke that I keep in my back pocket is, will glass coffins become popular? Remains to be seen.
That's good.
There's this penguin and he's driving through Arizona and his car starts to make a little noise in the Arizona desert. So he pulls into the mechanic and the mechanic says it's going to be about an hour while I look at this. And so it's hot. Penguins are not used to the hot Arizona weather, right? So he goes to a little ice cream stand and he just devours that ice cream. He has his little flippers. So he just like puts his whole face in it, just devours the ice cream, feeling good, getting that cold penguin vibe back, heads back to the mechanic. And the mechanic says, it looks like you blew a seal. And the penguin says, it was ice cream.
Oh, good one.
That punchline was good, I think, but I think my favorite visual was the little penguin just face down in the ice cream.
With the flippers.
Nom, 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 nom.
Okay, Lacey, what's yours next?
What did the ocean say to say hello? Nothing. It just waved.
It just waved. I heard that one.
Okay, we will move on. So this one, this episode is for the Restarby faction, but boy, this is getting kicked off with some bad vibes. So we are bringing back the good vibes. We're also talking about some cool things that have happened for the show. We're now up to 27 different countries listening to our show. So that's awesome. Ireland is a new arrival. We have 43 states. We're trying to get New Mexico. We're someone in New Mexico. I found at first I thought it was like New Mexico only has what, like desert, but no, there's like 2 million people that live there. So we got to get a New Mexico person in here at some point. We also have these appetizers now that we're going to be bringing in the off weeks. Kate was delightful enough to read a wonderful story for our very first appetizer. Kate, do you want to talk a little bit about the fic, just in case anyone hasn't watched the previous little
Oh, yeah. Okay, yes, I would love to. So this fic is called Like a Flower in Bloom, How the Ink Flows Over Your Skin by the author Change the Circumstances on AO3. And I am such a sucker for the flower shop, tattoo shop, AU. It's a little bit more niche, but I just love it. And the idea of this one is that Steed, after getting out of prison for the murder of a certain badminton, goes looking for a job, and he gets one at Lucius's flower shop, and he starts to work there, kind of gaining some friends through Lucius, who's very, very Lucius. And then he kind of starts to befriend one of the employees at the tattoo shop next door, who of course it turns out is Ed. And it's very, very cute. Just a delightful little fic that I absolutely like found myself grinning ear to ear while I was reading it. And so when Carly was asking if there were any, you know, fics that I could think of that would be good for a little like teaser taster, that one was like one at the top on my list. I always love that. And it's very cute.
Yeah. So our plan is we have these long episodes every other week, and then we have little 30-minute minisodes in the off weeks where people read fics, and that's basically it. And if you're thinking, oh, I don't know if that's really my jam, just check out the first little appetizer we did. You know, that way you can just kind of keep the podcast rolling, and it might introduce you to some stories that maybe you haven't read. And then you might be like, oh, I really like this. I'm going to check out the rest of it on AO3. And for you guys listening, you are welcome to record your own little appetizer episodes. And there is no gatekeeping. If there is a fic that has captured your heart enough for you to devote 30 minutes of your time, or let's face it, an hour, because, you know, when we read stuff, we're like, we flub a line here or there. We have to go back and re-record it. So, you know, you're going to devote your time to recording it and email it to me at rflagmeansfanfiction@gmail.com. I will put it up as an appetizer. And what's really important, though, you have to get the author's permission. That's the only, like, you know, hard and fast rule. But other than that, whatever you want to do goes, and we'd love to have it up. You did such a great job of reading it. Did you have fun recording it?
I really did. I want to do more. So
yes, please feel free to do more. You do it really, really well. Okay. Really cool, like synchronicity though happened. Reese's show, the Cryptid Factor podcast, of course. The very last episode, they were talking about Phantom of the Opera. And our last episode of our podcast, we were talking about Phantom of the Opera. And I feel like we were probably talking about Phantom of the Opera at the same time.
He's still going to be on this podcast.
I don't know. I think that's like an amazing little... That's the universe.
Yeah.
I love that technical term.
This is actually a really good spot before we get into the fandom roundup of news that has happened. We should talk about our experiences of actually meeting Reese. So Lacey, you met Reese like a bunch of times because you have like a bunch of different selfies with him.
What?
So Lacey Bond, host of Temple of Geek podcast, tell us your story of meeting Reese.
The first time I met Reese was during the Emerald City Comic Con meetup last year, 2023. I ran that with my cosplay partner, Temma. There was like 300 people. I worked with the convention to get a couple of surprises. We got a surprise marriage proposal. We had a surprise cast visit. And so Reese was on my stage and I was like, hey, can I get a selfie with you, please? And he said yes. So when you host a meet, I was hosting the meetup. We had a stage, and like we had mics, we had a photographer, we just the whole nine yards. It was so involved.
Awesome.
What should have happened is we should have been on the stage with mics when they arrived, but the timing window was very messy, and so they arrived while the con staff was like running some stuff to keep people engaged. Because I was like, yo, I've run out of material. You told me they were going to be here 10 minutes ago, and they're not. It's your turn. And so like they had the mics. And so I was like, oh shit. When they walked up, I was like, I got to get back on my stage because I had gone down to help with something. And so I like hop up on the stage and like a minute later, I was like, I'm going to go for it and ask for a selfie because I did all this work. He was like, yeah, all right. And so that was
what was his vibe like? Was the yeah, all right, like I'm tired and bored and overwhelmed, but I'm gonna agree? Or was it like, yeah, all right, like
it was hesitant. Okay, I think because he didn't realize that he was at my meetup, that it was I was in charge.
Got it.
Because there was no, we hadn't had a chance to like visually establish that. But I also met him later for a photo later in the day, like for a photo op, also for a signing. The man's, how old is Reese? He's grown. He's tired, you guys.
He's turning 50 in a few days.
Yeah, March 21st. Happy early birthday, Reese.
And this is why we're doing this episode now, so that we can have this be a happy
birthday. I'm extremely
No, he's Aries. 0 degrees Aries. You're going to have quite the little solar return chart for Reese's astrology. It's going to be a year for him, a year of endings and a year of new beginnings.
Wow. Yeah. He was pleasant. He was excited and happy to be there. But I mean, and this is his first time on the con circuit. It is overwhelming, especially to have the fandom response that he had. Like, it had to be a grueling day. Like, I know that it is for talent when they're doing photo ops and autographs. But he was really sweet. He was like really excited that people also listened to like the Cryptid podcast, because someone gave me like some Cryptid stickers to give to him. I was like, these are from the locals. There was like a Sasquatch. he was nice. His handlers were like really rushing people through, and usually the handlers are my least favorite part of any of those experiences, because like, yeah, they have a job to do, but like paying a bunch of money to have an experience with someone that is like rushed by their handler, and especially if their handler is like rude or brusque, is like, that stood out to me more than anything. But like, Reese was he was nice, he was kind, he was excited to be there. And then I saw him briefly once after he had a comedy show in LA at the Largo at the Coronet, which was super fun. Definitely, I think he was more peppy, because it was like at night. There was not like a huge insane crowd to deal with. So him and Samba came out and like said hey to everybody.
Yeah. I wonder if he's more of a night energy person rather than morning energy person. You know,
I would say it's probably just that cons are exhausting.
They are.
Especially if you're not used to it. Like Vico is a con person. Vico grew up going to conventions, and you can tell. Like, they know exactly what's going on. They are at home. They are like super energetic because they're like 30. Like,
yeah.
So I think it's more that it is just, it was a convention, and that is an exhausting day of work.
Yeah. Kate, Tanya, did either of you meet Reese at any point?
No, I was looking.
Then I will tell my story.
Yeah, do it.
So this is extremely cosmic, and I'm going to make this very dramatic, because it was dramatic for me. It was the best day of my life. Okay, so picture the scene. It is the first day that the picket lines of the actor's strike has started, July 17th. I am getting ready for work. I am very nervous. I'm getting dressed, and I'm very nervous because this is my first time going to the picket line, and I've been told by my coworker that I'm supposed to get photos and videos of high profile people on the picket lines. And I'm like, that is really, really scary. I'm listening to the Cryptid Factor as I'm getting ready. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be really cool if Reese Darby was on the picket line? But I said, ha ha ha, that won't happen, because he's like in New Zealand or something. He had just been traveling. There were photos from Paris and England, and I think he was in New Zealand. So I was like, there's no way he's going to be there this time, but maybe eventually. So I head to the picket line. I am in my cute little picket line outfit, but it's not as cute as it would eventually become. So this is my trial picket line outfit. And I start walking the line with my coworker, and I see Bob Odenkirk. I text my work group chat, and I just saw Bob Odenkirk. And they're like, go get him, go get a photo or a video of him. And I was like, that's really scary. And they're like, no, they want to do these things. So go do it. So me and my coworker went looking for Bob Odenkirk. And then who do I see out of the corner of my eye as I'm passing? But Reese Darby, like walking the other way. And I'm like, soul leaving body, flood of heat filling me, and suddenly becoming filled with more bravery than I ever had in my entire life. I think it was because this is my job. Like, I've been told to get celebrities, so I have to do my job. So I do a little U-turn and I say, "Hey, Reese," as if I have any right to say his first name. And my heart is beating out of my chest and I feel like I might just faint. And I say, "Would you mind doing a short little video of why you're here and why this is important?" And he said, "Sure." And he did, like you said, Lacey, he looked very tired. And so, of course, being super respectful. So I take a little video and he says his thing. It lasts like probably like 10 seconds where he says, "We have to change things that are going wrong." And I then I say, "Okay, let's do a little pose, be fierce." I have my fist up and he like, you know, does like a fierce holding the picket sign thing. I take a low angle shot and I say, "Thank you so much." And then I verbally love dump on him with, what did I say? I said, "You are a huge source of dopamine in my life. And I love Steed so much." He put his hand to his chest and he was like, "Oh, you know." And then I said, "Thank you so much for coming out." And I checked out. I was not brave enough to ask for a selfie or anything. This was my first day doing this. And so I was very much like, "I do not want to bother anyone," you know, that sort of thing. So I do regret.
The culture hadn't developed by that.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. It evolved.
Yeah, it was still evolving. Like later on, like people were asking for selfies and it was fine. But like, I didn't know if that was okay or not. And so, and also I was way too nervous to ever ask for a selfie. And then like, I felt like my heart was going to beat out of my chest. And I was like, "I can't believe what just happened." And what is really phenomenal that happened on my first day of the job doing this, which was extremely helpful for the rest of the summer, because I did the whole video interaction thing with the person who I felt the most hard eyes for. And so every other celebrity after that, like going up to them and being like, hey, do you want to do a little photo or video for the thing? It was like no big deal. So thank you, Reese Darby, for making like my job easier. As in, I got over the big, huge hurdle. It was fine. I survived. I did not die. And then I was able to go on and do
that's awesome.
Other people. So that's my story. Mm-hmm. Tell your Khan and Samba story.
I only found our flag because I showed up at the picket line one day, hadn't heard of the show, huge fan of Taika. I mean, just huge, but hadn't heard of this show. And I walk up and there's a ton of people dressed as pirates. And I was like, "I have my Strike shirt on. What the hell?" But I didn't know who anyone was then at that point. A lot of pirates. Were you there?
I was. I won the cosplay contest with
them. Oh!
I'm going to get the thing.
So I went home and binge watched because
look at my prize.
Let me see.
Oh! Number one wearer of fine things. 2023.
That's amazing.
Lacey is listening, which is 100% of our audience. It's a plastic pirate hook sprayed with glitter spray paint and hot glued onto a plaque.
That's great. I was there too. I was overwhelmed with all the pirating. And as a writer, I was like, who's the producer of this? Who's the writer of this? So somebody points out dad, you know, I'm like, who's dad?
So you saw David Jenkins.
Oh yeah. I'm a former publicist, so I will go ask anybody anything, anytime, anywhere. I don't care. I'm polite about it, but he was so busy and I could see the fans love him. I'm like, I gotta go home and watch this. I binge watched. I didn't sleep for the next few nights. So when I ran into Khan and Samba, they're opposite Warner Brothers. They're coming this way. And you were there, Lacey.
Yeah, because Lacey did the nipple video.
Right, 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 right.
Yeah.
I think that's when I met you for the first time. But I went up to him and I went, "Oh, you guys, man, I just popped my Our Flag cherry just in the last month. I'm not Our Flag virgin anymore." And they started laughing and I was like, "I don't care, I'll say it." And they're like, "That's fantastic. Did you pop the whole cherry?" I don't even know who said that. I think it was Sam. I'm not sure who said that. And I was like, "Oh, yeah, fully." And that just got the ball rolling and they were so friendly. And
you talked to them for like a really long time.
Decent time. Got cute pictures. Okay, we got a selfie, the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Lacey's in the background of one of them.
Yeah, Tanya got a selfie with both of them.
They were so sweet.
God, and I'm so jealous of you guys.
I just fell in love with them. And Khan was really cute for the picture too. He's like, okay, scoot over. Okay, come on. You know, they were just lovely.
Lovely.
I actually wanted to keep talking to them because they, you know,
everybody. Yeah, they were great to chat with.
Great to chat with. You don't want to stop the flow of a picket. And most of the celebs on the line, we know, were decent. I won't name a few that weren't. But what was nice is later, and I don't remember seeing you, Lacey, there, but there was another time where we crisscrossed, and you know how everyone on the picket line, we tap signs when you know somebody. Mm-hmm. And so we saw each other and we're like, tap, tap. And I was so happy to get the tap taps because they weren't just freely handing out the tap taps.
This is a good, now we have this positive energy. It's time to talk about what do we love about Reese Darby?
Everything. So weird. I love him.
His look.
Silly.
The look.
I truly love how he's able to do this combination. Like he's got a 1-2 punch of really awkward and endearing, which I love because there's a lot of actors who can do the awkward and then you get that secondhand embarrassment. And there's a lot of folks who've kind of built their, you know, career off of that, which is perfectly fine. I really struggle with it, but he's somebody that I can watch be awkward forever. And I don't get it. I don't get the cringe. I get the like, cute. Like I know folks just like you in real life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's for all of his roles. You know, in What We Do in the Shadows in the movie where he's like, we're werewolves, not swearwolves. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just got these very like fun, funny little moments that seem to somehow always come from a place of kindness through the cringe.
Yeah, wholesome cringe.
Yeah. Good charming. Word.
Yeah.
And very neurodivergent, where like those of us who are also neurodivergent are like, the neurodivergence in me sees the neurodivergence in you. Look at you with your hyper fixations. Look at you with your sound effects. We're like, we have found our guy.
He wears it like a badge of honor, which I love. Mm-hmm. He owns it so well.
And in a way, he's kind of also given me permission since finding him and discovering his comedy and everything to be like, to almost think like, okay, what would Reese Darby do? WWRD. Reese Darby wouldn't care. Reese Darby would just do it. I used to be so cautious of like, I don't want people to think I'm weird.
I also enjoy like, cause I've seen him live once at doing his Reese comedy thing. I like that he supports his kids' musical endeavors.
Yeah.
His kid's got a band and he always plugs it. And I think they opened for him at that show and it was great. It was swell. Aww. I liked it.
He has that wholesome, nurturing dad energy, which made me also think that I wonder if people who really cling hard to Reese Darby do so because we did not have nurturing father figures growing up. I don't know if this is relatable to anyone here. For those of us who did not have nurturing father figures, you look at you like, that's what I was missing as a child, you know?
I would say, I mean, I definitely did not grow up with a great father figure. I feel like David Jenkins has, for me, been somebody that I look up to for like that sense of security and safety. But I do also get the sense that like Reese, as one of us weirdos, is a different kind of safe place. You know, we can, I don't know, it, watching, and I've seen him in other, you know, I've seen his other roles, but seeing him as Steed, where we get so much screen time for him, we get to see just how his brain works to interpret the lines that the writers have written and give us, you know, something off, like 10 degrees off of cool, still so relatable. And I find myself kind of looking, maybe like an older brother. Like I just kind of look at him and I'm like, man, you're so weird.
Were all of you familiar with Reese's content before Our Flag Means Death?
Only from What We Do in the Shadows movie.
Oh yeah. Okay. So basically Steed was my introduction to Reese. I had no previous knowledge. Yeah. When he walked down the staircase with the ribbons on his little shoes and the fluffy coat and the fluffy hair with the Marilyn Monroe, like blonde look. That was my first time seeing him. And I was like, who is this fellow, this weird little fellow? I adore him. And then title card starring Reese Darby, I was like, let me go to Twitter right now and follow every single social media account this man has ever put out, because I am obsessed. I am obsessed. And so then after binging all of season one of Our Flag, I watched What We Do in the Shadows. And then Flight of the Conchords. And
yeah, that's how I first started watching him.
Okay.
So back in the day when that first came out, he was just kind of a side bit character. So,
but did you love him back then, or was he memorable? Was he like, oh, I kinda like that guy, or what was?
Yeah, definitely memorable. Always very, like, extremely funny. Always, always very funny. But it felt like he was one of those actors who was going to continually be cast as the side bit, comedic relief, awkward manager type. And I loved being able to see him in a role where he got to keep that, which he's so strong at, and then also moving into, like, a romantic lead, because he's so, like, he's so good at it. It was so much fun to see him get to explore that.
And thank you to David Jenkins for, like, making that a possibility. And clearly, after watching People of Earth and now watching Our Flag, clearly David Jenkins understands that the best love stories are the love stories between weirdos who love the weirdness in each other.
And that weirdos are sexy.
Weirdos are sexy.
To me, was the big straw. Chemistry is everything to me.
Yeah.
And the world as a whole does not think that. So I love that David Jenkins gave a platform to go, oh, yes, they are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He did that so well. I thought that was one of the, for me, that was one of the top things that I loved. He could get saucy. Yeah. Weirdos get saucy. And he was cute about it, you know?
He as a character, he's bitchy.
Yeah.
He's narcissistic.
Flirty. He's all the things.
He's all the things. He's a full spectrum character.
Yeah.
And
still weird.
For so long, Hollywood
full spectrum.
mainstream media has been like, okay, sexy is this very narrow thing.
Yeah.
Especially for women, sexy is a very narrow thing. We need more. Okay. This is my, like, little rant to Hollywood. We do need more enthusiastic, weird, sexy women, not manic pixie dream girl. We need women characters who are hyper fixated on stuff that no one else thinks is cool. We need autistic, sexy female character. We need those female characters that do all the things that Steed and Ed do. But I love that Steed is a full spectrum weirdo.
I want to tell you guys about a show called Sense8.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm guilty of watching, like, an episode and not getting it. And I'm sorry, and I'm going to watch it. I'm going to rectify.
What's it called?
Sense8, S-E-N-S-E, the number 8, is... it's a Wachowski project. It's hard to define genre-wise, but broadly sci-fi. It's about a cluster of people who suddenly develop essentially psychic connections with each other and can kind of astral project, visit each other. And there's, like, a driving force behind them where it's dramatic and there's danger. There's 8 different people. Is there a single straight person among them? Definitely not by the end of it. It's very queer. Takes a minute to get used to what the concept is, but it's all these people's and their stories intertwining and them learning about each other, and just, like, the way their relationship develop are so queer and beautiful, in that queer relationships tend to have this intentionality about them because they are often not following the dominant heteronormative path, right?
Where is it, Netflix, or where did we find it?
It's Netflix, yeah. And it's complete. The ending of it got a little rushed and compressed because, like, I don't recall the ins and outs of it being, like, canceled or saved or whatever, but, like, the last episode is, like, a full-length movie, and it moves very quickly because they had to compress a lot of stuff, but, like, it ends. It's complete. I finished it a couple days ago because I watched it when it came out, and then it went into, like, development hell or something, and then I never finished it, and then I did, and it was so good. Everyone in the show is hot, and there are a lot of sex scenes, and they are some of the most gorgeous, erotic, beautifully shot things I've ever seen in my life. They did such a great job.
One of the things I really like about that show that I think is also reflected in Our Flag is there's a couple of relationships that defy our normal traditional expectations about what a relationship can look like. There's one situationship. Lacey, I think you know what I'm talking about, where like,
is it Wolfgang, no. Kala, and Rajan?
Yes, yes, yes.
We'll talk offline about this. I don't want to spoil anything because it's, you should go into this just...
Yes, there's a lot of stuff that is way more explicit than Our Flag, but it is very good. But I like kind of tying it back into our love for Our Flag and also for Steed is just this, I love that with queer relationships, and Lacey, I love what you said about intentionality in relationships, because we don't have a script. And that's part of the reason why representation matters so much, is so that we can kind of take these formulas of how other relationships have been presented to us and map them onto ourselves to see, does this fit? Is this right? And there's a couple of relationships in Sense8 that kind of do something different than what we're expecting. And I think we also see a lot of that in Our Flag, particularly with, you know, relationships like Olu and Jim, where you couldn't call them partners in the traditional sense. You couldn't say, well, you know, Olu is their boyfriend, maybe, potentially, but how is that defined? How does that interplay with the whole polyamory aspect that they're developing together? And I think we also see that a lot with Steed. I love seeing his relationship with Ed develop at the very beginning, because there's definitely, it's not just a friendship. There's like a lot of that kind of very intense focus placed on Ed at the beginning. I can certainly relate to that, and I'm sure that a lot of other people can too. You can't just call it a friendship, and you can't quite call it a, you know, romantic interest at the beginning, because we as the viewers didn't even know that that was a possibility for the first 8 episodes.
Yeah.
You know, even
that took me so long to catch on.
There was electricity though, I think, from the very beginning. There was an electric current that linked them that made us all go, what could this be?
Yeah, but I mean,
it was almost visual to me.
I was on Sherlock fandom back in 2012, and Sherlock had just as much electricity between these two characters. They're looking at each other. They're looking at each other's lips, and they've got, you know, very classically, you know, the cinematography felt very, you know, if one of them had been cast as a woman, there would have been no reason for them not to kiss, you know? And we've seen show after show after show give us that, like, you know, will they, won't they, you know, ooh, maybe. And the fact that Our Flag just went for it, you know, as Lucia said, oh my God, this is happening. Even when he said it in the show, I was like, it's not. Thanks for that. That's going to launch 1,000 fanfics, and that's wonderful, and I'm excited for that. I wasn't expecting to actually see the romantic relationship develop the way that it did. And even when it does, they're still weird.
Love that dynamic. And speaking of, oh my God, this is happening, we have to give a shout out. I meant to say this we haven't even done our fandom news, have we? Divine Joy Randolph, who plays Yvonne in People of Earth, who was the first one in the David Jenkins universe to do the beard cleaning moment that causes Lucius to say, oh my God, this is happening. But they did it in People of Earth. There was no, oh my God, this is happening, but there was a moment. Yeah. So we shout out to Divine Joy Randolph for winning the Oscar last night. So David Jenkins universe people, they're moving up in their stardom. David Jenkins picks good people for his projects, for sure.
He really does.
Yeah. I just realized we didn't do our fandom wrap up. You guys were so out of order.
Sorry.
Look, at least we have an order. That's why you have a script. You can move it around, shall we?
So let's start with Lacey. Lacey, what fandom news do you want to share with us?
Well, I mean, the one that I had flagged was HBO going after like Etsy sellers and makers of fan vids on, you know, Etsy, obviously, and then YouTube, for copyright infringement, which is what I was thinking of when I think I made a comment earlier about HBO being not being a dick, hopefully, about the copyright. Very frustrating to cut off a show and then be like, and not make really anything official for it, and then be like, no, you can't have any.
What do you think is behind them, like, starting to target Etsy accounts and YouTube fan videos and TikTok? Basically, Max is going to people's Etsy accounts and, like, shutting them down if they have Our Flag content. And then they're going to people's TikTok fan videos and YouTube fan videos and shutting them down for copyright infringement.
A lot of us were really hoping that that was encouraging, you know, before the news came out, because I think that started on Tuesday or Wednesday last week. And we were kind of like, oh, well, if they're getting really tough about this, then maybe there's some kind of battle over the rights. Maybe we're moving. Maybe, you know, is it moving day yet? But
well, there's a lot of power that comes with these decisions. They might be seeing what is going on in the fandom and be like, this is our power. We can do this. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
I also think that we've had a lot of the fandom. So initially, the renewal efforts were very much focused on We Are Polite Menaces. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was a big part of our success. There were a couple of things that Warner Brothers execs have done specifically in the fandom since the cancellation that has triggered some people to get rid of the polite part of that phrase. And that's not a judgment call. That's just what I've observed on Twitter. But we do know that people like Casey Bloys really don't like it when you talk about him.
It just seems so petty.
I honestly don't ascribe any deeper meaning to it, personally. Like, I just see it as
so weird.
One more tentacle in the octopus of hypercapitalism. Studios do this with everything, and someone probably just noticed and sick the lawyers on them.
But it's been 2 years we've been doing this stuff, and now they're taking it down now. And the it's just so weird. I don't have an answer. I'm just like, it's so weird. It's also so weird. The heads of this company don't seem to understand that a huge part of a company's success is the goodwill of the public. And when you cancel, when you delete movies like Coyote versus Acme and
Wild,
cancel shows and be big old dicks about it, cancel shows with huge fandoms that are extremely passionate, you're not building goodwill amongst your demographic. How can you be successful as a company if you have such a negative public image? And it seems like David Zaslav or whoever's in charge is so focused on the numbers that they aren't caring about the reputation and the brand.
I think the strike proved that, just in general. The strike proved that.
Prove that they don't care about
the
brand.
They don't care. And they don't care about creativity. They don't really care about the fandom unless they're making top dollar at it. Somebody else going to make a dollar after something that they have let go of and canceled. They're not going to let that happen because you're dealing with ego. I think it's just like, I'm going to Etsy. You found out what's going on? We're going to Etsy and shutting that down. It's control.
It's also very, very much like, speaking as a person who works in finance, it's all a puzzle. How can I get the most money and pay the least amount in taxes? What is like, there are many, many ways to make that equation work for you. Mm. And they're playing that game. That's the game that matters to them. And the numbers are always going to supersede people, because as far as they're concerned, you know, if we're not helping them make money, then we're a part of the problem. I won't go too deep into it, but it's pretty rough out there.
Do you want to tell your fandom news, Kate?
The thing that I wanted to talk about is that Samba did us another solid with some more BTS content, and he released a more complete version of the final battle scene that is just another cinematic masterpiece. It is so beautiful. We get to see so many more moments for each member of the crew. We get to see the Swede helping Jackie into her outfit, into her uniform. We get to see Steed and Ed looking at each other and having just one more beautiful moment of connection and happiness together. And we get to see Steed's kind of face fall afterward, thinking of, you know, the seriousness of the situation that he's in. Just absolutely beautiful. Samba constantly coming through in the clutch with these incredible BTS scenes. Have you seen this extended scene?
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. People were saying that it could have been season two's version of The Chain. It's the sort of scene and the sort of shot that you would study in film school.
Yes.
I'm mad that the shot is not in season two because this shot is so well epic. Done. It's so good. The music, it's the choreography, the camera movement, the scene at the end with Steed's face changing the emotion. It's so good. This is
I kept thinking, what are they going to do with this? Somebody's got to do something with this. This needs to be out among the masses more.
So thank God for Samba sharing it with us.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Release the Jenkins cut. There's already merch on Etsy that says release the Jenkins cut that probably Max and Warner Brothers are going to go after the creators for making those stickers. But I want the sticker. Release the Jenkins cut.
As long as it doesn't say our flag means death.
Yeah.
Could mean anything.
Could mean anything.
Yeah. Legal wiggle room.
Mm-hmm. We'll buy the DVDs. You already have the footage. Put it together into some Blu-rays.
Yeah. If they sell the DVDs at any point, which I would love. I would buy two copies. I'm not even joking. I want two copies. One that I can watch until I've ruined it, and then I'll have another one for safekeeping.
Disney just released a couple box sets of their series, including Moon Knight, which, like, I loved Moon Knight. It was underrated, underappreciated. So I'm like, can some of y'all please?
We just had a Ouija on one day earlier. Costume designer Gypsy Taylor and Con O'Neill were on. It was a delightful little discussion. Some like little tidbits that Gypsy gave were descriptions of Ed's earring, which is just sort of like a long piece of metal. People were wondering if it was a coffin nail. She said, no, just kind of, it was a long piece of metal. It kind of looked like a coffin nail, but she was drawn to it and had some like abalone beads and stuff in it. And a little secret Wee John costume moment is he has a little pincushion to show that his love for sewing. And they talked about his backstory. So definitely check that out. There are a lot of nice little tidbits. And Khan repeatedly talking about how much he loves the cosplay and he loves the fandom so much. So if you need more Khan goodwill content.
Today that he posted was so sweet.
Yeah, tell us what he posted today, Lacey.
It was just like a thank you to the fans and acknowledgement of like the massive outpouring of support and attempts to find a home for the show. It was just so sweet, you guys. It was very heartfelt.
Yeah.
It was very sincere. I thought that it was just honest and sincere and real. It made me just want to go, are we sitting down to have a coffee with Khan to talk more about this? That's what it made me feel like. Like, I just want to sit down with him and talk about this.
Yeah. It really does feel like us and Khan and Samba, we're all together forever.
I definitely have, there's a lot of parasocial relationships in this fandom. And my favorite, I definitely have a strong one with Samba and Khan, particularly because like they spent time on the picket lines. I mean, especially Samba. And man, I hope there's going to be a documentary about that strike, because the culture that developed and the camaraderie and the community was just really incredible. I'm not even in the film industry at this point in my life. I was just there to support. And like, I loved Khan's speech about being a union man in one of the videos that I got that day. It was a little bit overshadowed later. That's why I didn't release the nipple edit for a while. I was like, I wanted to talk about this and I'll save the ridiculousness for later on. For the fans, because I really liked what he said about unions.
Yeah, and speaking of union stuff, those Our Flag folks who came out to the IATSE all crew rally in Encino. So Hollis was there. He's brought the rainbow. The other Carly Del Saavedra, I believe Jack Frazzled Writer on Twitter was there. There were a few others. I'm sorry that I'm missing your names, but Duncan Crabtree Ireland, the National Executive Director of SAG-AFTRA, hung out with us at Chipotle for like an hour afterwards. And he's like a super busy guy. He was like, where are you guys going? Chelsea was like, we're going to Chipotle. And he's like, can you give me the address and can I come? And so Chelsea Schwartz, who's also an R Flag fan, as well as a SAG-AFTRA strike captain, gave him the deets, and he came and hung out with us at Chipotle. It was amazing.
Amazing. And yeah, he was so affable and easy to speak with, and just it was pretty wonderful.
This is the kind of cool experiences that you can have when you are supportive of the better world that we're all trying to build.
And I wanted to add, there are two documentaries happening.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a part of one that he's three quarters of the way through. And I actually need to ask him in post where he had fandoms was part of it. He's not telling a basic story. This was a strike. This is what we're fighting. He's about the people completely. So I had a strike sign that Carly saw. And Lacey, I don't know if you, I don't think you signed it. Did you sign? It was my yearbook. I called it my yearbook.
Yes. Okay. Yes. That was you. Got
that
it.
Was me.
And I remember that.
Filled. I think I was the first one. I'm going to own that I was the first one. Everyone was doing t-shirt signing, and my strike sign is so filled. It's got DNA on it. One of the strike captains accidentally spit, and she was like circling it. That's my DNA. Coffee. It's like battle worn. And Connor and Samba both signed it.
Oh.
And the person that is working on this documentary, he wanted to interview me about my sign and what it meant. And he was talking about including something possibly about different fandoms on the picket line. I have to ask him about if he's
or
not, because And then there's a bigger one I know of that's being put to start. It's in like pre right now. So they are happening.
Yeah.
Yay.
Good. I remember. Yeah. We talked about it after the press conference on like November 10th. I was talking with Chelsea, and who's the older guy, photographer, white hair. He was out like
everywhere taking that's our, he was at our Chipotle too.
Yeah, he was hang out. It was great.
Yeah.
Like Chipotle, 10 people in Chipotle with the most powerful man in Hollywood.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Who is usually like super busy. I mean, in fact, just today he's been in three different countries, but like he hung out with us for like an hour. We are getting so off track.
Yeah, we are.
We need to talk about Steed. Let me segue into, what do we love about Steed Bonnet? We talked about what we love about Reese, but what do we love about Steed specifically?
Vulnerability.
Yeah. He's such a tender little flower.
Isn't he?
I love him.
He's a fancy man with a fancy ship.
He's simultaneously, he is very soft. He is also very bitchy, which is very entertaining to watch. I love that he cares so much about his crew. One of the things that I most deeply like love and identify with, and like why I read so much Gentle Beard content, is like he's coming from a world that he never really fit in, and he wants to be free, but he doesn't know the ropes, he doesn't have experience, and he meets this guy who's amazing, and he has a great like kind of whirlwind crazy weird pirate romance with him, and that like he gets to go on a journey of self-discovery is one of the core things that really draws me to Steed's character.
I love that he's so honest. Like he's able to be honest to himself in ways that I really admire as like a neurodivergent person who doesn't fit in a lot of ways in, you know, in the normal society. It is so nice to see somebody who's given himself permission to just be the weirdest, most honest version of himself. You know, it is beyond eccentric for somebody to build himself a pirate ship and leave to go a pirating. You know, it's like, I'm just gonna leave my apartment and sell everything, and I'm just gonna go and be a cowboy for the rest of my life. You know, it's so impractical, but he's finding ways of making it work. And so much of the way that he makes it work is through the community that he builds. And his presence means safety for the crew in ways that are just so palpable. You know, without him, Ed goes, you know, into a downward spiral. And as soon as he's back, everyone knows that they're safe. Even if they're not always happy with the things that Steed says and does, or the fact that they're supporting Ed, or that he's supporting Ed, they know that they're safe. And I think that that's why they allow Ed back onto the ship is, as long as Steed's there, Ed's going to be harmless. And I just, there's something so beautiful about the inherent kindness and the inherent worth and dignity that he gives to each person, no matter. And he just kind of meets people where they're at and just kind of accepts them for who they are.
That's yeah, like well he said. He's not going to make fun of buttons for being sad about the seagull dying or right. running around naked. He's just like that. He just accepts people. I love the fanciness of the pursuit of the aesthetic. Yeah. I'm like, I love a character that's pursuing to creating their aesthetic world the way that they want it to look. And
being true to that.
And yeah, a man who's pursuing the Venusian ideals. I love that so much. What do you guys love in Steed Fix? What kind of, and this is a good time. You can feel free to drop some fix that you love to read.
Ooh, as you all know, I'm a spicy fic reader primarily. I love the first time trope and I love it being just like so wholesome and like safe and pleasurable. Especially like with that journey of self-discovery and acceptance where see like as a character gets to be introduced to something safe and acceptable and pleasurable and wholesome. I'd have to pull some recommendations. I don't remember if there's a first time trope in this, but blue is cut sapphires and sparkling like gold is one of my favorite Steed fix. It's very spicy from the jump and it's just like overwhelming in a good way from like the not the necessarily the reader perspective, but like the Steed perspective. There's a few really good ones, but that's one of my main.
Yeah, I also love the first time trope with Steed. I'm of two minds about it because on the one hand, I love the gentleness that can come and like the unexpected but surprising passion that can come from the first time trope in some of those fics. But equally, this is a man who bought himself and like built himself a pirate ship, so he knows what he wants. And so I'm starting to really find a lot of satisfaction from looking for fics that are about, you know, Steed's first time is the first time of a man who has been dreaming of what he wants for the past 40 years, and he can finally get it. And he gets to be in charge. And I love how people will take moments from the show where Steed has taken charge and that has like soothed a lot of Ed's spirals and like just kind of stopped them in their tracks. And I love to see how that plays out also in Spicy Fix. But I love the ones that kind of combine like here's the spice and then also here's the sweet because we've got like all of these emotional elements that are a big part of it as well. So
are there any titles that you want to like shout out at this point?
Yes, but I got a new phone and I lost all of my bookmarks. Oh. So I may have to send them to you later. Okay.
I wanted to give you a chance to say any before you have to leave. Sorry.
Yeah.
You just said something real quick. I'll throw in. That made, can we go back to why we love Steve?
Oh, yeah, 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 you can.
But you said something that is actually true in my memory. One thing I love so much is here is somebody who is giving himself this life opportunity to chase his dream, to make his dream happen, but he's learning to become a pirate. He wants to, but he hangs on to self. When he sits and reads to them, that is one of my,
that's my favorite.
I can't get enough. That isn't that the best? And when he's reading, you could see that's the core of who he is. That's who he is. Yeah. He still want to go be a badass pirate. He's learning how to do some shit on the ship, but he still has that part of him that's who he is, no matter how crazy and piratey it gets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that.
That was the moment when him reading, that was like, I am done for.
Yeah.
This is my favorite thing in the entire universe ever made.
Magic.
And then when it cut to the all the flags on the mast,
he's able to do some healing for the pirates.
Yeah,
you know, it in just this completely like unintentional way. He's not trying to
healing, you know, by he does being say, yourself.
Yes,
because healing he's being by being yourself. Yeah, and I know that he does say, if I can help improve, you know, these pirates as people, then I've succeeded in being a pirate captain. You know, completely missing the point. But in some ways, he does just, you know, he does understand that there's something that needs to be healed in everyone around him. And I think he deeply, deeply understands that from his own childhood and is able to provide a safe spaceship for everyone to kind of deal with their whatever, their own shit.
But I really like, there's still an element of lack of self-awareness.
Yes.
Like, yeah. He is unintentionally healing people. He says that, oh, I'm going to do this in that narcissistic way. But he then still, he doesn't do it the way that he thinks he's doing it.
Because it's happening organically.
And and there's a whole part of himself that he's not aware of, you know, he can't really see.
I think it's when he tries to do it, that's when he fails. And when he's just reacting by instinct,
organically,
just letting things grow organically. That's when you really get to see how he changes the vibe of whatever room he's in.
I love, especially in Fix, Steed's autism, and I love his golden retriever energy. If you're really liking the golden retriever energy a lot, I would recommend All You Left Me Was a Pearl, and I believe the author's name is Just Standing There. I'll put it in the show notes. But All You Left Me Was a Pearl is probably my favorite all-time fix. It's a post-season one fic where it's this author's version of season two, where Steed is going out and pursuing Ed. He is like, I am going to woo this man back. And he steals a molasses ship. And so everything on the ship is sticky, which I love. There's so much humor in this, and that's what I personally go for in fix, is like, I want to go for the comedy, the ones that match the comedy of the show. And so All You Left Me Was a Pearl really does this. What about you, Lacey?
Okay, I found my other favorites. Blue as Cut Sapphires and Shining Like Gold is by Such Great Heights. It's 34 chapters, 300k words. It's amazing. Another favorite is the OFMD Trucker AU, which does feature autistic Steed. There's some scenes with like getting overstimulated that I think are handled really well. And that one is by Harley_Quinn09876. It's five chapters or five parts, but they all have one chapter, 85k words. Every chapter is a delight. And then Late Night Vulgarities by Luddleston, which is three chapters. It's only 9k words. It's like an accidental voyeurism moment, which is
one of my I read that one. Yeah. Yeah.
Another favorite trope of mine. Yeah. Those are my three favorites.
I should have written stuff down before doing this podcast, but another really good one is Blackbeard's Hostage. And I forgot the author, but I'll put it in the show notes. And Blackbeard's Hostage is where Steed is a gentleman wanting to do something different with his life. And then Blackbeard is kind of like, I'm going to kidnap you and rob you. And Steed's kind of like, okay.
He's kind of
on board with it, and then and so he lets Blackbeard kidnap him, and he's just all about like making the experience of being the kidnappee like very positive, and it's really, really cute. It's a very good, the comedy matches the comedy of the show in a really, really good way. Lacey, do you ship Steed with anyone other than Blackbeard?
I kind of can see the Stizzy, especially in season two, as like they have this like mutual friendship and they're like buddying it up in the captain's cabin. My crack ship is and it's not a romantic ship. It's purely like a teach me trope ship is him and Lucius. Laying aside the power dynamic problem there, because Lucius is clearly very experienced and Steed is not. There's not a lot of fic for it though, and I haven't really found a lot that I like love. I just like that concept in terms of a like, hey, I want to learn. And you clearly know what you're doing. So,
yeah.
But yeah, aside from that, I mean, Stizzy and Steady Hands. There's a good Steady Hands piece called A Man and Animal by Deer Smoke that I think I wrecked on the Izzy episode.
For people who might not know what you mean by Steady Hands, what is Steady Hands?
Steady Hands is Steed, Edward, and Izzy Hands. And then Stizzy is Steed and Izzy. And we've mentioned Gentlebeard, which is the gentleman pirate, and Blackbeard, which is also known as Black Bonnet, Blackbeard and Steed Bonnet. Steady is really not that common of a name for those two, because the other ship names are just so much better. I've read a thesis once on like the etymology of ship names. It was really interesting. Like, why do certain things catch on? How do we cobble these things together? And just Blackbonnet and Gentlebeard are just so much more great than Steady. Plus, Steady already exists in the Stranger Things fandom between Eddie Munson and Steve Harrington.
What would you love to see more of or see do in future fix?
It would really be fun to see my fail son try to run an inn. I vacillate between they would be awful at it and, you know, I think they could make it work. Ed would be surprisingly good at it, and he would be the, like, voice of reason talking Steed down from being just, like, a bitchy manager. Ed's like, the customer is always right!
Do you think Steed would be a bitchy manager?
No, I think he's evened out a little. It is unfortunate that we didn't get as much of a runway with season two to, like, really get a little bit more exploration of those characters.
If you're interested in a little taste of their inn management skills, I would recommend Murders at the Inn by Hopeless Necromantic, which is also comedy written in the style of the show. And they are both pretty terrible innkeepers. And Mary and Doug show up not realizing that Steed and Ed are the ones who are the owners of the inn. And that is one of my favorite. It's still a work in progress. There's still chapters getting added to it. I love it. They're very horny for each other. So there is this like, oh no, I've accidentally walked in on my husband having sex with his husband. And oh, he's really into it. Which he was never into it with me, you know, that sort of thing. Also, just it's really hilarious the way that they manage the inn and are not good at it. There's definitely no customer is always right.
It's great.
Oh, another, if you want to talk about, spicy, Discreetly Yours by Bonnet Petite. It's 200,000 words. It's 53 chapters, work in progress. And it's an AU, like modern AU, and the summary is, Blackbeard is the king of explicit toy reviews. One word from him can sell out all stock or ruin sales entirely. Over the years, he's built up a reputation as a brutally honest reviewer, but when he posts a scathing review of a new release, he's astonished to find himself challenged by the gentleman reviewer, who claims the toy isn't faulty, but that Blackbeard was misusing it. Neither side is willing to back down, and their bickering escalates into a full-blown rivalry, with the two of them battling it out to become the number one profile on the site. Nothing like a heated rivalry to get the blood going. Could this set ablaze something else between them? Spoiler alert. Yes.
What a cute summary.
That's cute.
It's spicy from the jump. There's promo art. There's art like throughout this thing, and it's so good. Like, there's so many visuals to go with this thing, and it's still going. The last update was February 24th, so just a couple weeks ago.
Awesome.
Bonnet Petite is one of my favorite writers. My other favorites are Cartoon Mare. Luddleston is really good. And Such Great Heights, who wrote, Luddleston wrote Late Night Vulgarities and Such Great Height, wrote Blues, Cut Sapphires, and Shining Like Gold.
What's your favorite Steed outfit?
I really like the blue one.
Because I'm going to say the blue one too. But I feel like, oh, we all are going to be like the iconic blues.
Okay, maybe is yours, but the, if we all have the same favorite, we're going to have to pick our second favorite.
We're cutting that out. Okay. So you can't pick the blue one.
I love him in his sleep shirt with his robe.
And when he has the little soft eye covers and the light cap.
I love that.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, you guys aren't laughing at me.
No,
I love that.
We love Steed because he is so soft.
Yes.
And he is so, with his frilly shirts and everything.
I just think it's the sweetest.
Oh my God. He's just so raw. He's like, he fills me with the same sort of emotion that I feel when I see a raccoon like walking along a fence or something. And I just want to be like, I just want to squish your belly and I just want to rub your little feet and I just want to like scrunch your face and kiss your nose.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're so cute.
Yeah. It'd be so much easier if you're in a nightshirt. Give you a rope to do all that. There, and it makes me kind of want to cuddle on that bed with him and have him read a bedtime story that.
He's so soft.
I love that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. More men in like those long frilly nightgowns. Honestly, guys.
It's hot. It's lovely.
It's adorable.
It's charming.
It's giving Michael Caine in The Christmas Carol.
In The Christmas Carol.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Okay, I like in the French boat, that checkered vest and then the white long coat and then the white powdered wig.
Yeah. I like that too.
Yeah.
Great fit. I really like the badass dressing up in the British naval officer's outfit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Such a powerful look. And it was
also very frilly, and the skirt is very, and the sleeves are very big, and the skirt of the jacket is very flowing and big. And that's also very highly appealing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that just one shot where he turns around, you're like, oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
The little grin.
So good.
So good.
He gives good grin.
Because he has the little dimples.
Yeah.
On the side of it.
He just gives the little
cheeks.
Steed grin. I love the Steed grin.
Little cheeks and his little nose. And you just want to squish his face.
I want a selfie with him with the little dimples and the grin. Oh, that's what I want. The Steed grin.
We're going to manifest it. It's going to happen someday.
Yeah.
And it's good. I'm going to feel the vibes, right? And it's going to be like a good vibe situation where he's not tired. And I don't feel like I'm bothering him. And I just like, we just like happen upon each other. And I'm like, hey, can I get a selfie? And he's like, sure. And we take a selfie and he's not tired at all. He's just like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, I had a good show or whatever.
And he says, did you get my grin?
Yeah. And I'll be like, okay, can we do one more for safety? And then we do it. And it's cool. And it's just like, totally perfect. Chill and not, yeah.
And the perfect selfie.
It's the perfect selfie. Mm-hmm. And it becomes my profile pic because he is my hero and I love him in a platonic way, but in a slightly parasocial way, I admit. How do we wrap this up? Lacey, what are you up to and where can people find you and what are you working on? What's going on in your life these days?
Well, I'm going to have to catch up on Discreetly Yours, obviously, because I think there's a couple new chapters up. I am still doing the Temple of Geek podcast. I will have a co-host soon, and that will be very fun. It will probably be a fair amount of Star Wars content, because my co-host Nick, who goes by codename Fulcrum on Instagram and TikTok, is a big Star Wars guy, and that's going to be fun. We'll probably start doing that early next month. So you can find me on the Temple of Geek podcast and wherever fine podcasts are sold, or in this case, given out for free because we don't have any advertisers. And my Instagram is joy.goblin.
And how are you? And I'm looking forward to eventually being on your podcast one of these days.
Yes. Oh yeah, you're on the docket.
Okay. How are you doing emotionally? Like, how are you doing? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I started using the Finch app, where you raise a little virtual Finch and you give him energy by completing self-care tasks or just like tasks and goals and stuff. I like it pretty well. I'm very unstructured as a person. I'm having lunch with an actor tomorrow that I have worked with a couple of times, who's lovely. I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. Transitioning, dealing with disability bullshit. Forgot to fill out a form. I had to call my assembly member's office to be like, can the EDD please call me? I can't get through to them. So, fun fact, wow. If you ever have to call a state agency, call your assembly member and tell them that you need help.
Wow, that's really good to know. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, disability or unemployment or probably anything else. Local government reps are usually pretty helpful.
Nice.
They all want to move up eventually, so they want to get you now and have you fall in love with them now.
Yeah. Like, what city do you live in? What's your zip code?
Yeah.
And Tanya, how are you doing? Do you want people to find you online?
Yeah. So it's tanyadixon.ig. And I am in development of a podcast for a ranch where, you know, I'm an animal handler there.
Oh, and that's something I should have introduced Tanya as. We're both like the Burbank farm animal people. Mm-hmm. We both, I have sheep, you tend to sheep and goats and
pig and birds and horses. And
yes.
So I've been a volunteer animal handler for 8.5 years at an equine therapy ranch. So we are working on with the owner, a ranch cast, you know, basically a podcast.
Aww, pod well, with a W.
Paws and podcast. Yeah, and basically fun little ditties and things about our animals, but the goal is to also have informative stuff like from different kinds of veterinarians and that sort of thing too for animal lovers, and then have different guests that are known and also are big animal people like we are.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
And how are you doing, girl? How girl, are you? It's been girl. A week.
It's been a week. It's been a week. I'm hanging in there.
That's
I'm
good.
I'm hanging in there, working on a lot of self-care projects, just little things, you know, and actually making a list, and your book, as you know, is at the top.
Oh, thank you.
Of books I plan to read.
I guess I could
plug.
You can pick up
my book. I didn't know this.
Yes.
You can pick up my book, The Reckless Kind, wherever books are sold.
Yeah.
And I think in Studio City still, you can get quite a few signed copies at the Studio City Barnes & Noble.
That's awesome. But I got away from reading, as life does, especially during the picket. And I want to read, like smell a book, have a book, not a Kindle, like books. And so I've just been going, I have a lot of books and I'm going through my own library. Because my goal is to get through X amount of books. So I'm literally making a little book list.
Oh, awesome. That's a really
good
idea.
And the first I'll be hitting.
And I told you there's some triggering stuff in there. So it might not be right for you now with what you're going through. But but I also have like some fluffy books. My bookshelf is over there. You are welcome to
peruse. I might hit yours up too. Mm-hmm.
Anything in there. And I, you know, have tons of recommendations of things to read. Yeah. Have you read one? I was just thinking that you would love. Have you read Song of Achilles? By Madeline Miller.
No.
Oh my God.
I need to.
I feel
this
like
reaction.
If
yes.
you love Our Flag Means Death,
yeah,
you would love Song of Achilles. It is the, well, I used to call it the greatest love story of all time. Our Flag Means Death has taken over that position. Mm-hmm. It's basically fan fiction of the Iliad and it's centering Patroclus. It's his love story with Achilles, and it rips your heart, makes your heart hurt and ache, and it's so full of longing. And then when they finally get together, it's so cathartic.
Oh,
and you're like,
Oh, do you have it on your shelf? I need to borrow it.
I don't have it on my shelf. I have it on my Kindle. But I've read it so many times. I love that book so much. Have you read it, Lacey? Song of Achilles?
No, I've only watched Stuart Mackey read excerpts of it on TikTok.
Okay, I am not aware. Does he like do it jokingly?
No, he's very sexy and he's got long curly hair and he's Irish.
Oh, geez.
Nice.
Ooh, I'm going to send you some Instagram.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh, no, my God. He's not doing it in a funny way.
You should totally read Song of Achilles. Oh, my God. Okay. So I'm going to give you some book recs. Also, Circe by Madeline Miller. If you haven't guessed, Madeline Miller is like my favorite author, mm-hmm. even though she hasn't written a whole lot of books. Mm-hmm. But she's like me. It takes a lot of time in between them. Mm-hmm. And but she puts a lot into each one. Circe is about Circe, who is a half goddess. No, she's a nymph. And she gets punished. She gets set away to an island where all she has is her animal companions. I know, right?
This is us.
And the sailors who come ashore and who try to assault her, she turns them into pigs. This book, I love it so much.
Okay, I got
it. But also, she does have love stories with like Odysseus and, you know, she has like these different relationships with like Odysseus and Hermes. And oh my God.
Which is making me want to dust off my romance novel that I started writing three years ago. I told you, but when was it? During the pandemic, I think is when I started it. And I'm not a reader of them. Nothing against them. Just wasn't a big romance book reader, but I'm in now. Cause now I love these characters and it's a time travel and a Western. My favorites.
Good.
Yeah. And it's really close to done. So I'm blowing dust off and going, I got to wrap this up.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. I feel like also queer people who are looking for other books, you would love Becky Albertalli, who writes YA fiction. Her most famous one is Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda, which got turned into a movie, which was called Love, Simon. But the book, Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda, will also fill your heart with so much love and warmth and brightness. So those are some good. If you haven't been reading for a while, you need some things to read. And of course, we always are like fan fiction, but like there's also some traditionally published books out there that are really.
Yeah, I've got one.
Okay.
The author is Bill Van Dalen, and I just read his book, The Prince's Dearest Guards, about a trans prince and his two guards, and it's a romance. And there's two books so far. They're pretty short. Delightful little reads.
Ooh,
I love them.
Pop those
absolute like fantasy royal setting, and it is tagline is a steamy romantic fantasy, and it is exactly what it says on the tin.
Awesome. I want to read that. I'm adding to my list.
Yeah, and I would feel like I'm like just having more ideas. I feel that this fandom would also appreciate the work of Kat Sebastian. And I would say anything you read of Kat Sebastian, which is usually queer historical romance, you will love. And also KJ Charles, I feel like this fandom would love the work of KJ Charles, who also does queer historical romance, and everything is so good.
What are we going to talk about on the next episode? Just more fanfic?
This is a good time we could talk about it. I was thinking since Ringa Sun wants to be on, Ringa mentioned doing Steady Hands. We could just do a whole Steady Hands episode. Yeah. How do we feel about that?
Sounds good. Just more of the same. We can, I would say, do like a short beginning if there's more fandom news and stuff, and then just kind of
the same
outline that you use, just you know,
stick to the structure. Yeah
stick to the stuff you know.
And if anyone has ideas for future episodes, like basically I'm an open book, and I'm kind of thinking like we've been doing the one character per episode thing for a while, but we might mix it up. We might do tropes. If you have an idea for an episode, like say you should do an episode on this, we'll do that. That's worth it. And if you listening want to be on the podcast, that's awesome. Be on the podcast. Email me, DM me. ourflagmeansfanfiction@gmail.com. Follow our Instagram. DM me through the Instagram. DM me on my personal at Carly Lynn Heath on Instagram. We'd love to have you. And you can also record an appetizer too. Lots of ways to get involved. We want you on the show. Thank you guys for listening. Definitely be sure to give Our Flag Means Fanfiction a follow on Instagram. Till next time, bye.